For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be one more dear. Hribo. So hearing that, who wants to tell people, tell devotees about the secret message of Krishna? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Abhay Charan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed among the devotees only. For those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as He is and Bhagavad Gita as it is should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Tani. So the very important verse, preaching verse, if we can present Krishna as He is, present Bhagavad Gita as it is to the devoted people, then those people will get liberated. We'll get reach Krishna. We'll get pure devotion. It's an all auspicious situation. Mostly people, there are many people in India that don't know who even exactly Bhagavan is. I remember one life member from Bangalore. He was a Brahmin, but running some company. He became life member. He said he got to set a book, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He put on his bookshelf. He didn't read. In his altar he had all the deities, Vishnu deities, the different devis, the different devas. He had maybe 13, 14 different deities' pictures. And one day, and he knew all the suktas, being Brahmana, he could say Sri Sukta, Devi Sukta, the Hanuman Chalisa, this Purusha Sukta. He could chant all the different suktas and the different mantras, sanghitas. One day though he thought, what is this Bhagavad Gita I got from the Being Life member? And he started reading. He told me that it was a revolution for his life. So that all the years, in spite of being Brahmin, in spite of knowing so many mantras, He never really knew who was Supreme Bhagavan. For him, Parabrahma maybe was a nirakar and there's so many different forms. He didn't know exactly that there was a Supreme Being who was a person. But after reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, it became very clear to him that Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, it clearly says Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's original form of Bhagavan. And other forms, other avatars are his expansion. Ete Changsa Kolapum San Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All the avatars that were mentioned, about 24 scheduled avatars are mentioned. Ete cha ansa kola. Ansa means a part, and a kola is a ansa ansa, part of a part. So said all are either the part of Krishna or the part of the part of Krishna. So he was very much, he came to me, he said that now I finally know that who is Supreme. I never knew. I knew all the mantras, all the sadhanas, but I didn't know who was Supreme. I just did it, hoping that I'll get the blessings. So this is the amazing thing, is that many people, even though they're very learned, but this is one of the very big secret, which is the Supreme. Of course, there are two amongst the Vaishnavas, majority Vaishnavas accept Krishna as Supreme. But the Sri Vaishnavas feel that Narayana is Supreme. And Krishna is a form of Narayana. Anyway, that's a minor difference, because they accept anyway the Vishnu forms are the Supreme. We all believe that Krishna has Ananta Rupam, that Vishnu, Narayan, whatever they have, Supreme Lord has unlimited forms, and He is the Supreme. Which is the original form? That was the question. There are unlimited forms and they're all not different. But who is the original? So Krishna says that he is the original. Brahma says he is the original. Many authorities say he is the original. So we accept that Krishna is the original form. And Narayana is his expansion. But of course, then there are others like Shivaites who say that Shiva is the Supreme. Shaktos who say that Durga is Supreme. But this is not the instruction given in Bhagavad Gita. That in Shiva himself, he's also Mahadev. He's Supreme in the universe, but he's also expansion of Krishna. He comes from Vishnu. But here there's a Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They're showing that Mahesh comes from Brahma. That's how he appears in the universe. That he comes as the son of Brahma. But actually, Shiva is more powerful than Brahma. He's Shiva Tattva. He's actually an expansion from Vishnu. But he appears in the universe through Brahma. So they showed it in that way. B. because Shiva exists even when the universe is destroyed. He doesn't get destroyed. So he's got a special place. But when the universe is destroyed, Brahma leaves. He dies. His life is ended in this Brahma birth. So there's a difference between. And then Vishnu and Krishna, they're never born and they never die. They're eternal, always existed. But they don't mix with the material nature, but Shiva mixes. So it says that Krishna is like milk and Shiva is like dahi, yogurt. You can change milk to yogurt. Can you change yogurt back to milk?
No.
So it's like that. So many things are given in Bhagavad Gita. But in order to explain these things, someone needs to be a devotee and have faith in Krishna. Then to explain this to the other devotees, people who are not envious or against Krishna. In the next verse, Krishna says, don't preach this to the envious people. So sometimes how do you know who is the envious and who is the not envious? So Prabhupada said, if you're having a public meeting, anyone who comes, you consider that since they've come on their own, you give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not envious. Because they're sitting for so many hours through the class and everything. So one or two might squeeze in, but we're not responsible. But if you know that somebody is a faithless person, some of my disciples went to get me a visa from one in Delhi, from one country. I won't mention the name. And the consul general came out and they said, oh, so you are devoted, so you're something about Krishna. And he started making fun of Krishna. In Delhi, being a diplomat, but he was making fun of Krishna, committing some aparat. So obviously someone like that, there was no use of starting to preach to them about Bhagavad Gita. Everything they said, he was making fun, which I won't repeat. So there are some people like that, they don't want to listen, they have their own distorted opinions. Of course, we can defeat them. We can tell them what you're saying is not correct. But obviously, they're not a good candidate to be told many confidential things about Krishna. Because they'll just misuse it. If you start telling them about Radha Krishna pastime or something, or telling about the Bhagavad Gita, some special instruction, they're not going to be the candidate to digest it. I haven't met someone like that who was offensive for a long time. But they told me that they met. They apologized. One of them says, my country has such a diplomat that he's insulting Krishna. I feel very embarrassed. And even the Indian employee of the embassy was apologizing. We're very sorry. So, someone who goes to the trouble to spread this movement, Krishna says, Kaschan may priyakritama. They're very, most dear to me. No one will be more dear. So we heard this morning about last night also about prime duty, right? What is our prime duty? Anyone can remember what was the prime duty? To listen to the glories of Krishna, go back to Godhead, to serve Krishna, to be Krishna conscious. So one of the things was also to please Krishna. Our prime duty is to please Krishna. Well, if you serve Radharani, you'll definitely please Krishna. Because she is so dear to Krishna, right? So here also, this is how you can please Krishna. You tell devotees about Krishna consciousness. There may be some very new devotees, they don't know too much. So they need to hear about Krishna consciousness. They may be in that case like that life member where he was devotee of Krishna and so many, but he didn't know that Krishna was supreme. They don't know what they're supposed to do also. Since here in other parts of the Madhya Pracha, we don't have like temples like here. But I know I went to some temples in India. I go many temples, being taking devotees and tour. And I went to one Krishna temple in Assam, in the middle of the river of Brahmaputra. It was the island dedicated, the main deity was Shiva, and there was also a temple to Krishna. Both Krishna and Shiva temples, the priests were very facilitative to the devotees. Like when they went to the Krishna temple, he said, sit down, give me your hand, take this flower, fold your hands, repeat after me. Namo,
Namo
Ramanya,
Ramanya
Deva Ego,
Deva Ego
Ramana,
Ramana
Kithayacha, Jagadhithaya,
Krishnaya,
Govindaya,
Govindaya.
Namo, Nama,
Namo Nama.
Take the flower, throw it at Krishna's feet. Say,
Om
Esa
Puspa
Arpayami.
Look
at it. It was like, very nice to see that everyone who came, he was taking them through the basic some offerings and some puja to Krishna in a systematic way. Many people, they come, they look, jai, and they go. They don't know, what to do exactly, how you offer a flower, what prayer you should say. Say, bow down. I personally like that. We started that program now in Mayapur, where we have visitors come. We take them before the altar, let them do arti, deepam, dupam, puspam, the incense, the lamp, and flowers, sometimes fruit, noivedyam, offering. So someone, they get an experience what it's like to worship Krishna. Krishna is interactive. Interactive. Krishna worship, you do it. But most people, they don't get so much experience what it's like to do it. How many of you do arti to your deities in the house? Okay. But look around you. How many people don't have their hands up? They don't do arti. They don't, why didn't you teach them? Maybe half of you are 40% raised your hand. So the others, they don't know maybe how to do it. Which comes first, the dipa or the dupa? You know, little things like that, so they may not feel comfortable. What you should say when you offer the item? Is there any mantra? Is there any? So, when people come to our temples, it's nice to give them some training. Either through some organized courses, or just that when they come, they can learn how to do it. Because we're here to educate, and that's what Krishna says, educating my devotee about the science of Bhagavad Gita, that is the most dear devotee to Krishna, who takes the trouble. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, put his devotee in trouble and everything. So we would have it. And there's so many people explaining Bhagavad Gita from Jnanakanda, Karmakanda, different points of view. But it's not Bhagavad Gita as it is. They distort it. Someone was giving Gita Jnana Yajna in Chennai, and he's saying, don't you think that you get happiness by worshipping Krishna, and the happiness comes from the void, from the nothingness, the nirakar. And one devotee said, but we see that Hare Krishna devotees are very happy by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So then this person, he said very offensive thing. He said, what do you think? They don't get happiness from the Hare Krishna Ram mantra. They get happiness from the void between their words. They can speculate, what Shastra says that? You get the happiness from the void. Everyone says that Anandamaya Vyasat, Krishna is Anandamaya. We get happiness from chanting Krishna. Even Lord Shiva gets happiness chanting Krishna and Ram. As he's chanting, on his Rudraksha, and he's getting great happiness. That's why he's always chanting. So, but then people can say anything who are not devotees. They're called Gyani, but it usually means speculators. They just speculate something and they're good at speaking. Once somebody asked, so how did you like the lecture? You were at the Gita Jnana Yajna. Very nice. Swamiji spoke so nicely. Oh really, what did he say? What did he say? I don't know what he said. I just know it sounded very nice. I'm an ordinary man, what can I understand what a Swamiji says? We just listen and nod our head and we think, very nice, sounds good. But I didn't understand anything. That's where Prabhupada was, a different kind of Swamiji. If we want, we can speak things so complicated with so much Sanskrit, nobody will understand. Right, we can start to talk about Tatastha Shakti and Antaranga Shakti and Bahiranga Shakti, and people may say, what's he talking about? We can talk about different tattvas, the different prakashas, Vaibhav Prakash, Vilas Prakash. There are many technical things. Someone wants to, they can speak very technical, but people won't understand. So Prabhupada, he was speaking in a simple way, very complicated philosophy, so people could understand it. He was maybe one of the first Swamis where people could actually understand, who went on the international market. And his purpose was not to impress them that I'm very learned, I can speculate so many things. He wanted to educate them. This whole thing is about teaching people what did Krishna mean without changing what Krishna said, as it is. So And for this, Krishna, we need many people to be Gita explainers. How many of you are telling people about this message of Bhagavad Gita as it is? Thank you very much. How many would like to learn Bhagavad Gita very nicely and be able to tell others about Krishna consciousness? So that's very good. So you see, good potential. Even many of our children still have their hands up, they're fired up. So that's what we need to do, is train up the people so that they can explain the Bhagavad Gita, be Bhagavad Gita explainers. As it is, I have one disciple who's migrated to North America from Guyana, British Guyana. So his forefathers are from Bihar. But he doesn't, he knows what village. Bihar, UP, is not in some of that area. And they went as workers to Guyana to work in the British sugarcane fields as indentured laborers. It was kind of almost like slavery. They give them advance and then they work, and if they can't pay it back, until they pay it back, they can't leave. So it's like selling yourself. Yeah. But that's old history now. It's not all abolished a long time ago. But a lot of Hindus are there. But he didn't know, because they found that the pandits there, they weren't explaining the things properly to the people. So once he became devotee, read Bhagavad Gita, he memorized some slokas. And he had a few debates with the pandits, he started quoting Bhagavad Gita. And then when he would quote some slokas, Puttam, Patam Puspam, Phalam Toyam, we should offer, you see, food, flower, leaf. Doesn't say we should offer Matsya Mansa, fish and meat, all these things. He was quite successful at convincing people. He had to memorize some Gita Sloka. That's why we're recommending people memorize the Gita Slokas. And they use the Gita Slokas for their preaching. Either memorize in Sanskrit or in the local language or both. Of course, for Indians, it's easier to know the verse and easier to pronounce the Sanskrit. For some of our Western devotees, they can understand the English, but they have a hard time with the Sanskrit because they're not used to it. But I don't know why they have so much trouble. Like that, we have people now all over the world who are explaining the Bhagavad Gita. And this way Krishna says that they're guaranteed pure devotional service and they're guaranteed to come back to Him. So that's really what the prime duty is. So if we can be a Bhagavad Gita preacher, we can achieve our prime duty. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was going in South India and he met one man, one Brahmin who was reading, and all kind of children were around and him and laughing. They were naughty children and they were laughing and making fun, and he was crying. Poor man was crying. So Lord Chaitanya is asking, why are you crying? Who are you? What are you doing here? He said, I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita. My Guru ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita. So why all these children are laughing at you? He said, I don't know Sanskrit very well, so I don't pronounce it properly, so they're all laughing at me, making fun. Acha, okay, so why are you crying? He thought maybe everyone thinks he's crying because he's being teased by the boys and girls. But that's not the reason he was crying. He said, I'm crying when I think about how kind Krishna was. He's Supreme Lord of all the universes. He's the original personality of Godhead. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Parameshwar Bhagavan. But he was driving the chariot like a driver for his devotee Krishna, Arjuna. So when I was thinking about that, I can't help but think how wonderful Krishna is, that he can take a menial job out of love for his devotee. And I can't help but cry. The Lord Chaitanya picked him up and gave him an embrace. So you are the real Pandit of Bhagavad Gita. You have really understood. Lord Chaitanya told all of us we should read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He called it Krishna Shiksha. So Krishna Shiksha, Prabhupada explained two kinds. One, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, that's Krishna's spoken teaching. And other teaching is about Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is an explanation about Krishna and his pure devotees. So by Krishna and about Krishna. These are both two kinds of Krishna Siksha. So we like all our devotees to read Bhagavad Gita a number of times. And then also read the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam in English. And most of the languages we have in Bengali, Hindi, Gujarati, most of it's available in Tamil, Telugu. I don't know how many volumes are available in Malayalam. I know the first volume is available.
Any more?
Only first. Let's start in print. Well, if somebody is really good at English and Malayalam, you can help us by translating. We can give you the BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, would pay for you to translate. And also, of course, the more books that are sold in Malayalam, in a particular language, gives the funds for the BBT to print the more new titles. They keep a percentage of over the cost of the printing for publishing the next title. I think in Canada we have also all the books, no? In Oriya, they have all the Bhagavatams. Assamese Gita we have, I don't know how many volumes of Bhagavatam, not all. So those of you who have already the whole Bhagavatam in your language, it's very good for you. You can study. And explain. The idea of explaining is, if you don't know something, you say, I'll find out and tell you. Be humble. Don't try to impress the people. You don't know and you just speculate something, you get in trouble. you won't get good, you won't be pleasing Krishna if you say the wrong thing. You should go read the Bhagavad Gita or ask some senior devotee, and then you can know. The Bhagavatam is so powerful, it can liberate people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, once there was some tree which had some terrifying ghost in it. So he got one nice Vaishnavi to read the everyday Bhagavatam class under the tree, and after some time of reading, the tree broke, fell down, and the ghost was liberated. Many examples of that. Says even if somebody is insane, if they regularly read Gita and Bhagavatam, they can become sane again. Then of course, there's so many, every chapter of Gita has in Padma Puran, Gita Mahatmya. This verse is from the 18th chapter. 18th chapter is considered the most important chapter of Bhagavad Gita and most powerful. I told you the glories of 18th chapter, remember? There was a Indra living inside of Mount Meru. His capital city was in Amaravati, and he was ruling the three worlds, and he was being glorified, and apsaras were dancing, and rishis and sages were glorifying. Indra has to do lots of punya, but then he also enjoys lots of sense gratification. Then two Vishnu dutas came with one Brahmin from earth, and the Brahmin Vishnu dutas appeared in the court of Indra. So Indra saw the Vishnu dutas, he got up to receive them, because he knows that Vishnu is his Lord and the Vishnu Dutas are messengers from Krishna, from Vishnu. So he went to receive them. They walked by him and they took that Brahmin and put on his empty seat. And the Brahmin transformed and became Indra. And Indra was shocked, I just lost my job, you know, I never thought of it. He got laid off. So he tried to figure out why he lost the job. He went and prayed to Krishna, to Vishnu on the Shirak Samudra. Vishnu asked him, yes. He said, I have been serving as your Indra in the head of the, in this universe, and I'm trying to serve you. And I performed lots of pious activities in my previous life. I went to the Himalayas. I bathed in the holy rivers, I planted trees, I went and bathed in the ocean, I worshipped Shiva and Meenakshi. So, for this Brahmana who was put in my place and replaced me, he didn't do any of these things. I don't know what he did. So why is it he's now Indra and I'm not? So then Vishnu spoke, he couldn't see Vishnu, but he could hear him. He said, well, this Brahmana pleased me, so I made him an Indra. I mean, ultimately, the owner of a company, you can hire, fire, maybe in some nation country, there are some guidelines. But if you're working right for the ruler and he wants to take your job away, there's nobody you can go to. So Vishnu is supreme ruler. If he wants to keep you in a position, you're there. You're only there on his kindness. So he said, I like this Brahmana, so I was pleased by him. I put him in the position. So then Indra, the ex-Indra, he was thinking what to do. He said, well, how is it that this Brahmana pleased you so much? He must know something. I don't know. I didn't please him so much. He said he was reading Bhagavad Gita, 5 verses of Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter every day. So the ex-Indra said, what, 5 verses of Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter? And he knocked me off my seat. I'm climbing mountains and I'm doing so much tapasyas and I didn't please the Lord, but 5 verses from Bhagavad Gita please the Lord. 18th chapter especially. So then he thought, okay, if the 18th chapter pleases the Lord, let me learn the 18th chapter. He took human form and came to earth and found a guru in one Krishna temple. And he learned the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter. So he was chanting that and studying. He knew it and all in and out, 18th chapter. He began to memorize and chanted the whole chapter by every day. So for some time he was chanting this 18th chapter. Then one day the Vishnu Dutas appeared to him. They said, Lord is pleased with you. You want to be Indra again? How many want to be Indra again if you are in his position? Or maybe you're not in his position, how many would like to be Indra anyway? He said, I was already Indra. I already experienced that. Now I would like to do is be on the planet of Krishna and to serve him directly. Can I get that blessing? And the Vishuddha said, yes, we can take you there. So that's what I want. So he was taken back to the spiritual world where he could serve the Lord directly. Just by reading 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Hari Bol. So this 18th chapter is very powerful. And amongst 18th chapter, this jewel of verses there, that you become most dear to Krishna when you explain the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So please, learn Bhagavad Gita, explain it to other favorable people, get your pure devotion and go back to Krishna. This is what makes my job a lot easier. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anyone has a question about this verse? Sahishnu.
Krishna
and he was reciting the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Then why he has not attained the Supreme Lord instead of that he got his Lord in the state? He was worshipping Krishna, isn't he? Well, at least he was chanting 18th chapter Bhagavad Gita, 5 verses. That's all we know. I was thinking about that myself. It says that sometime when we are taken back to Godhead, we're given a tour of the universe by the Vishnu Dutas to see where we're living. And if somehow something we see and we are attracted, we have the option to still go there. Maybe we like Siddha Loka or Tapa Loka, Mahar Loka. So see, maybe this Brahmana, he liked Indra Loka. Maybe he wasn't only chanted the 5 verses. He could have gone back to Godhead. Vishnu Dutas don't have to take you to Indra Loka. You don't need a Vishnu Duta to take you to Indra Loka. It's like you got on the air of the plane that will take you back to Godhead, but he got down part way. So you had to become very much attached to Krishna. Otherwise, this little test is sometimes given. You may be given a universal tour and say, oh, Indraloka, very nice, beautiful apsaras and devas, and nice gardens, and good food. And I think I'll be happy here. So I think nobody raised their hand to go back to be Indra. But when you're actually shown the place, you see it. Wow. Heaven, paradise. In the Delhi airport, they have a sign: Delhi, paradise, London. I mean, they're trying to promote that when you fly in their airplane, it'll be paradise. So between Delhi and London, you get to go to paradise, which is their airplane. They'll serve you like a deva. That's their point, they say. As much juice as you can drink, I don't know. So this is, of course, the propaganda. That's the danger. If we get attached to something else other than Krishna, we can get... You can go back to God. It doesn't mean you will if you choose not to. If you choose that you want to remain in the material world, in some other higher planet, then you may. So who was the winner? The ex-Indra that thought he lost everything? He lost his Indraship and got frustrated? Was he the winner, or was the one who went finally back to Godhead, or the one who became Indra? So sometime a loss is a stepping stone to success. You may lose something sometime and later get something even better. No, only chapter 18 question now. You have to ask on this class today. Otherwise you'll confuse the listeners. If you have open istigosti, we can answer any question. Last question. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. I don't know. Why, you want to become Indra? We don't know which five. I don't.
First is to send according him to the devotees.
Yeah.
But Krishna is preaching that means here. To those who don't know about Krishna, he has to preach to them.
Well,
that is the only problem. Those who don't know about Krishna.
The point is, don't tell the envious people, but you tell the people in such a way that they become devotees. We sometimes take a little risk and we tell some innocent people. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.